I would just like to draw your attention to a word. And I'm going to read a passage from the scriptures. And the word is in there. And that's what I would like us to focus our attention on. The passage of scripture is found in the book of Luke. Luke, the 19th chapter, from verse 12 to 14. Luke 19, 12 to 14. We're reading from the King James Version. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his servants hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Question. What's the word?
Occupy.
Occupy. Occupy. It's a fascinating thing that I've grown up from a child with that particular word quoted in the passage. And it's usually the phrase, occupy till I come. And my experience caused me to think like everybody else. But my experience over the years has shifted my thinking. And the experience has moved me from thinking like everybody else to just thinking. It's easy when you're growing up to fit in with the way everybody else think, with the way everybody else behave, with what everybody else do. It's easy to fit into that because the majority rules. Amen? That's what happened. If we're going to take a vote and there are 20 people in the room, 15 people vote one way, and 5 vote the other way. Who wins? The majority. So it's easy to go along with that way. But to actually think and make a decision for yourself, you have to actually sometimes, maybe more often than not, be challenged not to go with the flow. Does that make sense? So when I began to think about the idea of occupy till I come, it fits into this idea that Jesus has gone away to heaven and he's coming back. And he's saying, when I come back, things might be different. But in the meantime, occupy till I come. Let's just bow our heads. Father in heaven, we are grateful for your intervention, not only in our world, but in our lives. But it's a miracle that you can get through to our minds. So in our thinking, be ever present and helpful for Jesus' sake. So in the concept of occupying, I never really stopped to consider the implication. And I've talked to people and got the impression that it really just means that while I'm away, just get on with life and make the most of it. Until. Is that anywhere near any of your experiences? Are there any similarities with that thinking? Yeah? I had to play around with that because God has a way of working with things that you have learned over the years and then bringing it back to you to say, okay, you've learned that. What's the basis for believing it's true? Are you with me?
Yes.
And sometimes things that we've learned and accepted and believed come back around to us and you think, how on earth could I have believed that? It just changes the whole world. And we can't move on in terms of our living until we've addressed some of the issues about our thinking. So I had to go through that experience. And when I began to think about occupying, suddenly I realized that I've spent so much time in church and the way in which the church programs you to see things, to believe things, that you become totally divorced from the reality of life experience. So you misunderstand what is actually before your very eyes. Are you with me? And suddenly I began to realize that when I come outside of the church, then there is this thing about occupy. And the word occupation comes from the word occupy. And it's easy to think about occupation because we talk to people and say, well, what's your occupation? Oh, I'm a carpenter. Oh, I understand. I know what you do. I know what you're about. But do we really? Because I challenge you to think about having to spend time with a carpenter to understand and look at what they do if it's not your interest. Because, you know, carpenters have a way of understanding the grains in wood. Are you with me? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I only need a carpenter because I need a door hanging in my house. I'm not really interested in the way in which the grains of wood might flow, but it has some relevance to a carpenter. Yeah? When they have to cut the wood, they tend to work and say, we have to cut it in a certain way, because the occupation says you have to have an understanding about what you are working with, what you are dealing with, and the circumstances that you have to actually achieve. Understand? And how come that I think about occupying until Jesus comes as just making the best of it? Because that now comes to me to sound rather sloppy. When you make the best of it, then you take a slapdash approach. Are you with me? You don't really pay attention to detail. If it stands, it stands. If it falls down, well, maybe we'll try again. We'll just forget all about it. But it's that kind of approach which does not happen when you occupy. Occupy means it's important to pay attention to detail. Because if you don't, your very life is at risk. And historically, we know of wars that have happened between countries. We've gone through experiences where we can sit in one place, in one country, or an island, and observe the orchestration of war somewhere else. Are you with me? But in the process of that, one group of soldiers occupy the country or the state or the property of another country. Are you with me? We've been through world wars where we've experienced, in some respects, the occupation of soldiers. Are you with me? So when we begin to think about the whole thing about occupation, if we begin to think in terms of what happens when one group of soldiers occupy another country, and think about how they behave and how they are. Because you see, when you are in occupied territory, it's not your home. It's not your home. And if you start to behave and believe that you were at home in an occupied territory, you are no longer part of the occupation. Does that make sense? So here, The man is saying to his servants, occupy until I come. Let's look at the context, because it says that the nobleman went to a far country to receive what? A kingdom. When we move into verse 14, it says that the citizens hated him. And in their hatred of him, they stated very clearly, we will not have this man rule over us. And if we believe that we are soldiers of the cross, we need to understand that we are in occupied territory. And the whole issue about the war that we are caught up in is not about territory, as in land. Amen. The whole issue is a battle that's going on in the mind and for the mind. And we need to understand that we need to gear up and recognize that Jesus is actually the ruler. And if he's the creator who actually made everything, and it's about his rulership. But there are people, we are in occupied territory, because in the world has rejected its creator. Are you with me? And in the rejection of the creator, they are just like those people who hate God and say, we will not have God rule over us. But God has invested in us as his true citizens and said, occupy until I come. And since we are to occupy, then we need to be active. You see, the nature of warfare, you cannot occupy in a passive way. Come on. But yet, when we think about how the church and its attitude and approach to life is being, occupy until I come, just make do. Do the best you can with what you have until Jesus comes. And passively, we go to our church meetings, sing a few hymns, and have a few prayers, and have some discussion. And then, it's as it were, we live two separate lives and we go back to the real world to live for a while until the next church meeting. Are you with me? Passive. But you cannot occupy and be passive, because the citizens hate the rulership of your government. And they will take action. Not to just let you know, but to get rid of you. Because you represent your government. And if we understand the government, the rulership of God, which is in our hearts, and his law of love, we have something to offer the people in the occupied territory that they probably don't know or appreciate. And we can't approach to effect change with being passive. Gotta get active. Has to happen. So in the process of occupation, suddenly we have to think about, what are we doing to promote the government? What are we doing to promote the government? It isn't about walking around with placards and holding them up. It's about a belief that the rulership of our government is not just real, but it's true and it's right. And if we begin to get the mindset that the government that we are loyal to, which is God, and is right, then our behavior, attitude, our passion will reflect that as we live in occupied territory. Does that make sense, brothers and sisters? So we need to begin to think about the idea of whether we understand about the government of God. And I think that one of the problems for us as a church is that the way in which the social education processes impact on us, it makes us think that It's about demonstrating perfection. So what happens to us as a church is that I recognize that I'm married, and so when I go out and there are other women that come around me, you know, I put on the blinkers so that I can be like a horse, and I don't see the women so that I will not in any way, shape or form be at risk of being unfaithful to my wife. And I can hold my head up and walk around and show people how loyal and dedicated and committed I am to my wife. And then when the members look at me, they will see perfection. Are you with me now? Yeah? And we begin to think that if we can only do this, do that. You know, whenever I talk to people, I will speak the truth. Because I'm not a liar. Because I must demonstrate what? Perfection. I must demonstrate perfection. And then we talk about the church and its program. We work hard at demonstrating how good the program is and how we work well with it, and we keep up to the policies and procedures and the agreed protocols and everything. Because all the time I must demonstrate what? Perfection. But God calls us to understand that Job was perfect. Not because Job never made a mistake or sin, but because Job was real. He was genuine about who he was and what he was and his belief in the government. Come on. And we need to be perfect by being real about our faith and our belief in God and his government, our acceptance and belief in God's love. And when that happens, when we are real, then, you know, we can make mistakes. But there is a God who says, I want you to just come to me and I will forgive you. Because I'm not really down on you because of your mistakes. I want to work with you so that you can be perfect. You can be real and genuine in any given circumstance of your life. But what happens is that as we work towards the perfection, we become like the Sanhedrin. We look good on the outside in our mode of dress, etc. But on the inside, Jesus talks about them being whitened sepulchre bones. And he can't really use those people in occupying till he comes. Because they're not really about his government. Are you with me? So when God talks and looks at us, he's not looking for that thing that says, hey, look how they're behaving. He's looking for whether or not they have the right mindset. And so when we study, it's to understand what God is about. To understand his love for real. Not as affection as the world teaches. Because every time you talk to people and you say, I love you, they focus their minds around affection. Oh, you love me? Well, give me a hug. You know, but we learn when we study the scriptures that love is a principle. And that you love everybody regardless of their circumstance, of their background. You will consider their needs and respond accordingly. Because God saw our need and responded accordingly. And because of that, we stand on the premise of salvation. Amen?
Amen?
Because God loves us. It's not about how he feels about us in affection, but he saw that we were dying without hope, and he came and died for us. That's love. That's love. And the government of love coming from God is saying, you're not the only ones that I love. I love others. So in occupying until he comes, we need to show that love. Not the hugs, come on. But to show the love to people around us. To let them know that we care. That we really feel something deeper than just a feeling. You feel something. You know, you can feel love, which is deeper than just feelings. Because when somebody loves you and you know it, it just gives you that feeling. But more than the feeling, It gives you a sense of assurance. It gives you confidence. It gives you all kinds of things. That's not just about back feeling. There are many things that come to play. So when God says, occupy until I come, how can you occupy for God if you don't understand His government? If you don't understand that not only do God love, but He also works with free will. You know, how can you promote God's kingdom and force people and take away their ability to choose? How can you promote God's kingdom? He says, occupy until I come. It's not passive, it's active. But it's active in promoting God's rulership. And it's not a rulership where He simply says, because I say so. He helps us to understand that it makes sense and it is good for us. It's in our best interest. And if it's good for you, it's good for your brother and your sister and your mother and your father and your granddad and your grandson and granddaughter. It's good for your friends. It's good for everybody. Because in the beginning, God created. And as the Creator, He knows what's best. It's just that somebody came along to usurp the authority of God in this world. But He has us to occupy, to turn it around so that other citizens might come to stop hating Him, but to understand His love and give in with the heart to the government of God. That's what I think, as a church, our focus needs to be on. As we wait for Jesus to come, it's not sitting down and making do. It's getting up and acknowledging and learning to understand God, the government that He actually runs, how it works and how it benefits people. And as we understand it, we live it and we promote it in our everyday life, so that others can benefit from the kingdom of God. Please focus on occupying. Living in an occupied territory means you are not at home. You are at home when you live where the government resides. And that's where we're going. But until then, we're in occupied territory, to help other people to understand that they need the same government that you and I have. May God help us to that end.